He was slow, awkward, big, ugly, and he smelled rotten. His name was Billy Wayne Wilson. He was older than I. He was more the age of my brother and my sister. But everyone in Burnet, Texas knew Billy Wayne. He cussed. He was always in a fight. He started smoking before he ever became 10. He was dirty. He wore big black rim glasses, and the lenses were so thick, the only one who had thicker lenses was his mother. They were not a pretty family. I don't think, in my memory, that Billy Wayne ever had a single friend. He was a bully, but he was bullied every day of his life. He was always just on the verge of failing every class, and he failed several years, and then they just promoted him. It was the teacher's worst nightmare to think that she might have Billy Wayne Wilson more than 1 year. So just send him on. Everyone, not just kids or teenagers. Again, he was older than I, but I grew up my whole life hearing stories about Billy Wayne, and adults told him as well. It was cruel. He was hated. And did I tell you he smelled really bad? Now, Billy Wayne was an only child. His parents were much older, and they lived on our same street. We were 202 East Johnson, and the Wilsons were like the 800 block, and it wasn't really even on the street. It was just a shack. This is the late 60s, early 70s. They still did not have indoor plumbing. Again, his parents were older. His father, he dug graves at the Burnet Cemetery, but he didn't do it very often because, as my father would say, he had a drinking problem. Of course, Billy Wayne's mother didn't work, but they walked in front of our house all the time because at the end of our street, when you crossed Highway 29, was the U Totem convenience store. And every day, Mrs. Wilson would walk and buy beer, my parents said, and cigarettes for the family. Well, I remember it so clearly. It was pouring rain. We'd been to my grandmother's, who only lived a couple of blocks over, and it was cold and it was raining. When the rain kind of slacked down, my dad and I ran to the pickup and were headed home. Again, it was only two blocks. And when we pulled in front of our house, right there in the front of our house, on the curb area, was Billy Wayne and his mother. And her paper sack had burst. It was pouring rain, and they were trying to gather the stuff that they had dropped. Dad pulled in the driveway, and I thought, ooh, I bet he's not happy. They're right in front of our house. And before I could jump out of the pickup, Dad said, wait just a second. And it was a pickup that had the H on the column, and he went up to reverse and backed up, and he pulled right up next to Mrs. Wilson and rolled his window down a little bit and said, Mrs. Wilson, you and Billy Wayne get in the pickup. I need to drive you home. I was horrified. I remember scooting over next to my father and praying, and God heard my prayer. Mrs. Wilson got in first and not Billy Wayne. All four of us in the pickup. And there, for the first time and the last time, was Slitz beer in my dad's pickup. Never had there been a Slitz, a Falstaff, or even a Lone Star ever in my, and there they were, like, and they were wet, and her cigarettes, and the smell, the heater, and the smell of the Wilsons. I didn't know what Dad was thinking, and we started up the street to their house. Everyone knew where they lived, and no one said a word. And my father said, Mrs. Wilson, I wish you wouldn't buy that beer. It's not good for y'all. And she said, oh, it's not for me, Mr. Newton. It's for my husband. But I think he's about to give up drinking. And then we pulled up as close as we could to Ronberg and Johnson Street. And it was about over. They were going to get out and no one had seen us. And my dad said, as Billy Wayne jumped out, Mrs. Wilson, you know Billy Wayne should be in Sunday school. Why don't you let us pick y'all up tomorrow and take you? As a young kid, I almost threw up. And Mrs. Wilson said, well, we've been meaning to come to church and I think we have company coming tomorrow. They never had company. But we may be there. If so, we'll just walk. I went home that night and I prayed, dear Jesus, don't let the Wilsons come to church tomorrow. I polished my shoes. I read my Sunday school lesson. I even read it twice. I had my offering envelope. Everything was ready. I told my brother and sister, listen, this is bad. The Wilsons are going to come to church. And my sister said, I'll just beat Billy Wayne up. That's what she always did anyway. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. After Jesus had healed the paralytic and told him to go home, and all the folks said, wow, this is remarkable. Then Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Jesus said, follow me. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Then Levi had a great party, a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to Jesus' disciples, why does he and why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus heard and answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Now remember where we've been in Luke chapter 5. Jesus has already reached out to Simon Peter and James and John, some fishermen, and said, come and follow me. And they pulled their boats up. They left everything and they followed Jesus. According to Luke, Jesus has been healing people with demons and people with all type of physical disease, even leprosy. And as I mentioned last week, the paralytic, but nothing compares to Jesus talking, inviting to follow, doing dinner and a party with Levi, a tax collector, and his friends. One of my commentaries said, quote, of all people in Galilee and all of Judea, tax collectors were the most hated. Tax collector. They were renegades. Tax collectors were pure traitors. They sold their soul to the Roman government. They were crooks. They were crooks, and everyone knew they were crooks on behalf of the Romans. If your tax bill was, say, $10, the tax collector would charge you $15, and you couldn't argue. You had to pay it. That's how they made their living, by stealing from you. They gave the chief tax collector, like Zacchaeus, they gave him what was reported, and they kept the rest. They were despised, especially by common people. Again, a commentator wrote, robbers, murderers, and tax collectors were all classed together. Now think about that. Murderers, robbers, and tax collectors, all the same class. If you were a Jew and you were a tax collector, you were barred from entering the church. The synagogue was not open to you, not the court of women, not the court of men. If you were a tax collector, don't even show up at the synagogue. And Jesus goes by the toll booth and says, Levi, come follow me. The same thing Jesus had said to Peter, come follow me. And Levi got up, left it all, and followed Jesus. Now, I don't know how much space between verse 28 and 29. Was it a matter of hours after Levi followed Jesus that he then had a party? Maybe I have to believe it was several days. Maybe it was several weeks. But he did. He had a great banquet. Not only did Levi follow Jesus and leave everything, but he had a party. And if you were outside, you began to hear Levi sing, do you want a drink? Hey, you want to have a party? Hey, honey, this is Levi, ready to get this thing started. We cooked the lamb and the ground. We got some beer on ice. All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Hey, Levi wrote that. Hank Williams stole it. Levi inspired Garth Brooks to write, 'cause I've got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away, and I'll be okay. I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll slip on down to the oasis, 'cause I've got friends in low places. Levi, that was Levi. And he had a party. And all of his rowdy friends came around. The only friends a Levi would have were other tax collectors. And they all showed up. And Jesus was there. And Jesus' followers, Peter, you know, Peter felt right at home. But every party has a pooper. Verse 30, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the scribes, they wanted to fast and pray. Levi and friends wanted to munch on food and party. You see, I'm convinced that Levi, for the first time in his life, Levi experienced life. He experienced life. Jesus accepted him where he was to take him to a new place and said, come follow me. And Levi began to see that life abundant was life with Jesus. And I'm convinced for the first time, Levi saw the love of God through the person of Jesus. He experienced life, and he saw what love was, and he couldn't wait to share about this life and this love and this Savior. He couldn't wait to share and serve with his friends. The love and the life of Jesus. But the religious, holier than thou Baptist, showed up. And they stood outside the door. Oh, they wouldn't go in the house. They wanted to be near enough, but not too close. And they began to complain. And I love it the way they did it. Pretty typical. They didn't go to Jesus directly, no. And they didn't confront Levi. They just began to murmur and to talk to some of Jesus' disciples and say, why does he do that? Why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Don't go to the source. Just stir it up. But Jesus must have heard them, and he gave the answer. All week long, I've been reading this text, and I've wanted to rightly divide this text and rightly preach on this text. text, how do you interpret? How should that verse 31, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus said, I have come to call the righteous, no, the sinners. How do you rightly interpret and analyze that text? And so I went to my commentaries. I read Broadman and Barclay and Bultmann and Barth, and I didn't read all those, but I read some of them, and I even looked back to see, have I ever preached on this text? And I had not. And I found a Sunday school book that some of you have used recently that covered Luke, and it didn't help me one bit. And I listened to some other sermons online, and they were really terrible. And then I realized the answer is so simple. Jesus meant what he said. It's not the healthy who need the doctor. It's the sick. And I have come to call them to repentance. The healthy versus the sick. The righteous versus the sinners. It's those unhealthy sinners, those who are sick, the Levites, who have the possibility to become the healthy, righteous followers of Christ. You see, the saints, the religious ones, were the ones standing out the door. But really, the saints in this picture were the true sinners. The Pharisees and all of their self-righteousness, who stood outside the door and complained, who asked all of their condemning questions. They couldn't stand it that there was a party going on with Jesus. They couldn't stand that Jesus was with these sinners, these tax collectors. They were the real sinners. They were so busy outside spreading their gossip and their slander, making up their lies, and filled with their judgmental, unchristlike attitudes. Did it ever cross their mind that maybe they could have given compassion to tax collectors and sinners? No. No, they were too pure and good. Did it ever cross their mind that what Jesus had taught about grace might apply to them and others? No. Oh, they knew about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others. If they look like me and smell like me and act like me, the saints, they thought they were saints, were really the sinners. But Jesus came to call the sinners to follow. And sinners would follow. Sinners would follow if they were just allowed and maybe given the opportunity to respond. So often we come to Scripture and we want it to be so difficult, and that's why Jesus made it so clear. Well, that Sunday morning in Burnet, Texas, I tried to play sick. I didn't want to go to Sunday school or church. But I knew if you play sick from Sunday school, it's a long day, the whole rest of the day when you have to stay home. So I went. Billy Wayne and his mother did not show up, and there was rejoicing in my heart. I knew that they probably wouldn't. She had just said that, and we had made it, and I never thought about it again. And I don't know if it was weeks or months. It wasn't years, but one Sunday they did show up. And they sat on the very back in the auditorium at First Baptist Burnet. There were the theater chairs where we all sat in. We didn't have pews. But back behind were two little rooms that used to be Sunday school rooms that had those terrible closing things that never worked, you know, and they'd pop open. And so on Sundays after Sunday school, you pulled them back. And there were metal chairs back there. And that's where Mrs. Wilson and Billy Wayne sat. I never think that Mrs. Wilson ever came to church again. I'm sure no one spoke to her. But Billy Wayne heard that if you come to youth and children, that they have cookies. And sometimes they have hot dog suppers and And sometimes if you go to youth choir, they have tuna fish sandwiches. And he wasn't going to come and sing, but he would come and eat. And he did. And he started hanging around the church. Now, no one liked him. And he still smelled. And he was still cussing. And he was still smoking. My sister told me this week when I called her to say, tell me some Billy Wayne stories. She said, you know, he went with the group to Hemisphere. Hemisphere, some of you who are old enough, San Antonio, Hemisphere. And the preacher told my dad, would you drive the bus and you're in charge of Billy Wayne? And the only job my dad had was to make sure Billy Wayne didn't rob someone or steal something. And my dad lost him. And they all sat in the bus for an hour as the preacher and my dad looked for Billy Wayne. He was off smoking underneath one of the carnival rides. But something happened in the midst of all of that one Sunday. Maybe it was revival, or maybe it was just a regular Sunday, but Billy Wayne walked down the aisle and told the preacher he wanted to be baptized and he wanted Jesus in his heart. The preacher met with him, I'm sure, a long time. I bet he didn't go to his house. No one else wanted to be baptized that Sunday because the water would be so dirty. Now, Billy Wayne didn't change a whole lot. He still cussed and still smoked, and he still got in more fights. But that Sunday, he did pray for Jesus to come into his heart. And like Levi, he heard the call to follow. And he did. Now, Billy Wayne's story is tragic, but I think we all know a Billy Wayne in our life. He dropped out of school. He got so far behind. Again, I'm not trying to throw my poor sister under, but she and my cousin said once they remember chasing around the church parking lot when they were 16 in their car trying to run over him. She said, we're so glad he didn't trip now, but she said, we chased him all over the church parking lot, scaring him. He dropped out of school, and he got married, and he had two daughters. They were all just like him. Billy Wayne ended up in the state pen, and he died while in prison. He was beaten, I think. My mother told me before she died, you know, Billy Wayne's wife and his girls come to church, and they sit in the very back on those metal chairs. But when I read the story of Levi, I will always think of Billy Wayne, who was not accepted ever, but who heard the call, follow me. Do you think Levi was ever accepted? Levi is the same one we know in Scripture called Matthew. I wonder if the other disciples ever really accepted him. I wonder if he ever changed. Yes, he followed Jesus, but I bet like Billy Wayne, he continued to be pretty rotten. Our theme for this year of January, I've said it over and over, press on. Live and love. Serve and share. Forgive and move forward. But I thought this week maybe our theme should be press on and simply follow Jesus. Press on. Eat and drink with sinners. Press on. Find a Billy Wayne and Levi and invite them to the party. Press on. Get over yourself. It's not about you. Stop being a Pharisee. Press on. Stop judging. Press on. Follow Jesus. That's all Jesus asked. Follow me. And Levi got up and followed. The hymn says, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, I do now receive Him. More than all, in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His, and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Helping, saving, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Jesus, our friend, all of us sinners. And aren't we glad?